Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This week on Pop Gaze,
we talk celebrity finsters,
the Golden Globe nominations,
and the gay blood ban in Victoria.
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
For postmodern queers! Yay!
Yeah! Hi! Hello, girls.
Oh my god. We are coming to you from a studio, honey.
We are looking each other in the eye, not through a screen.
Yes.
We are dripping.
Yeah. We're all just amazed at each other's skin and radiance.
Yeah. All of us wearing Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
That Chanel fragrance.
Yeah. We're coordinating. It's a moment.
Did I ever tell you guys that I thought that when people said Louboutins, they were just quickly saying Louboutins?
Oh.
Like Louboutin shoes. I thought it was going Louboutin shoes.
That's
but
fair enough.
It's a separate brand. Louboutin.
Yeah.
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 Those red bottom shoes.
Yes.
So sexy.
They are nice. How are you guys? How's your week been?
Good.
It's been good. Oh my god. Big news. My girlfriend and I are moving in together.
Yes.
We've got a place in Richmond. If you want to stalk us.
Yeah, what's your address, Aurelia?
Yeah, so we're moving next week.
Oh my god, that's so exciting. With Kenzo?
With Kenzo the dog,
oh my
yeah.
God.
Fantastic.
And all in less than a year since we met.
Yeah, and yeah. That's slow for
that's
lesbians.
Slow
that
for lesbians.
Is slow. Incredible yeah. Work. You guys showed a lot of restraint.
I think, yeah, like 9 months.
Yeah,
9 months. I think that's a record.
That's the gestation period.
Yeah. You could have had a baby. Time to move in. You have a baby. You have Kenzo.
Yeah,
you
have a dog
for 9 months, and now you have a literal child. A literal child dog.
Yeah. Mm.
That's so exciting. Mm. Are you like both pumped to feel like your suburban fantasy with each other?
Absolutely. We've been looking at all the furniture on Marketplace. We bought a table today, like a dining table. We're like, it's extendable so we can have everyone over for dinner. We're like already planning all this stuff.
Nice.
I love a lesbian dinner party.
Yeah.
It's always the best potluck because people bring things. You don't have like some friend rocking up with a nacho cheese Doritos. We love nacho cheese Doritos.
or even more offensive, like a box of favorites.
Ah.
Yeah, lesbians bring stuff other than gay men who just bring alcohol and problems to the
party. Yeah. And ketamine.
How's your week's been?
Good. No ketamine for me. Actually, I did see something that made me laugh about Azealia Banks saying that the gays are appropriating horse culture because they use saddles and ketamine.
The harnesses.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, that's a bit of a reach, but not surprising from our friend Azealia. No,
Azealia Banks has gone so hard at so many different people.
Yeah.
Just talking about every celebrity who's quote-unquote wronged her and the problems they have now.
How many celebrities has she, like, come across still that are still like, I'm going to give Azealia a chance at hanging out.
She'll be like, that Bindi Irwin, you're next. Like, did you hear about the cat, though?
What cat?
Azealia's cat that she, like, it died and then she boiled it. Like, she boiled the skin off it in a pot.
She dug it up, I think.
And boiled it.
It's some kind of like
For what purpose?
Was it like a Wiccan thing or something?
I feel like it's like voodoo. Mm. And then there's people saying, you know, it's disrespectful to like criticize that because a lot of voodoo and like ancient African or Caribbean practices seem really weird to the average person, but it's like part of the culture.
Yeah.
But I don't know enough about her background to like back that and say, no, that is definitely her doing a spiritual thing, or is she just totally unhinged and boiling dead cats for the sake of it?
And I think there was some criticism because it wasn't necessarily that she was doing this voodoo act. It was more like she was doing it inaccurately or something like that. Like, I think she just put her own azalea spin on it.
She just, like, boiled a cat. Like, there wasn't...
Yeah.
she didn't, like...
It was something like, and she, like, kept the skull or something. I don't know.
I mean, she seems like somebody who needs professional help, but won't get it.
Yeah.
That's the vibe.
No, I just don't think she believes in help. Yeah. She's just... I thought she was, like... I remember when I first met, when I first came across Azealia, I thought that she was this, like, bi queen. But she... And is she?
Well, she said she was.
She says, I lick the plum in the evening.
As you do.
I mean... Maybe she was talking about literal plums.
Yeah, maybe she's maybe she's a fruit bitch rather than a fruity bitch.
A fruity bitch.
But yeah, she's super homophobic now. She like kept coming out saying that she was like pro Trump, and then she was like, "No, I'm not." And she just like hates paying taxes. Mm.
She gives me like a Milo Yiannopoulos vibe.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Oh my God. Like, that is a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Like someone who possibly is queer, but is also the most homophobic, like energy. Yeah. I don't know.
No, that guy was wild. He was gay. And then he like, just said, but then he used that as like, sort of, what I call it, when you kind of use it as an excuse to say whatever you want about everything.
Yeah, he's
everything.
Like, I'm racist, but it's okay because I'm gay.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Oh, it's, man. I guess, like, you have different layers of privilege, right? Mm. So if you're gay, but you're using all of your white privilege to be a racist, being gay doesn't negate all of the shit you're doing that's problematic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But someone like him would probably see it like that.
Yeah. It's like, you can still be a bitch, Milo. Like.
Giving a bad name to Milo.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, I think there was some scandal, and now he's actually broke.
I mean, there was so many. I don't think there was a single article about him that wasn't, like, just heinous.
Yeah. Mm. And he's in that same, like, brand of, like, men as, like, Kim, Jordan Peterson, who, by the way, only eats red meat and is... really unwell, shockingly.
Jordan Peterson only eats red meat.
He only eats red meat. Like, his daughter only eats red meat. And, like, I think she was sick and then she felt better. And then they're like, guess that's it then. We'll just eat red meat.
All right, Army Hammer.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The other red meat.
The forbidden red meat.
I sent you guys, I think, this thing about Timothy? I have Timmy Chalamet. Yeah.
Old mate.
I call him Tim.
Yeah. Old mate Tim. I'm starring in a movie based on a book, Bones and All, which is based on like a cannibalist story.
How is these worlds aligning again? Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't think it's a coincidence.
No.
Oh my God. I wonder if Timmy has like said anything about it. Well, he doesn't say really anything. He's not active on social media. He's aloof.
Like that pic that he put up.
Yeah, the mesh
of him
shirt.
In the mesh sexy shirt, and then it was just gone in a minute.
Mm. We haven't forgotten.
Oh no, it's on our page.
I reckon he has a Finsta for like his close friends.
Yes.
I think every single celebrity has another Facebook, Instagram, or something like that with a different name where they post shit for their other celebrity friends.
Yes. I actually watched, you know those like YouTube clips of like actors interviewing actors?
Yeah.
I watched one with Timothy Chalamet and Emma Stone, and they were talking about how they have, like, they just lurk because he's like, oh, I have an Instagram account. She's like, oh, I don't, but I spend a lot of time on Instagram.
What does that mean?
So she just has like an account that she must have an account because you can't be on there without one. that she just lurks no on and stalks people on.
Also, when you're that rich, I would just be on Instagram for the ads.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there's amazing ads. I'm like, I want to buy that. And imagine having the kind of money that you're just like, yeah.
I will just
buy that. There's so much nice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like adding it to the cart. You're just like, yes.
Add to cart vibe. She's got that, what's that linen brand?
Brooklinen.
Yeah. Or the nice linen, like, oh, what's it called? Everyone has it.
Sheridan?
Better than that. It's like Bedthreads.
Oh.
Bedthreads. Yeah, it's such an Instagram brand.
I've never even heard of it. I'm that, like, broke.
Instagram's not even that.
It's like, have you heard of Kmart sheets?
How about dirt?
Yeah.
You like dirt, Charlie? I'm curious about how many of those celebrities just have those secret accounts, which would be.
Did you guys hear? Because I'm big part of the Drag Race subreddits on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
That Trinity the Tuck had a secret account on Reddit, but she got exposed because this account would always comment on threads relating to Trinity and like saying like, oh, I'm such a fan of Trinity and like defending her and blah, 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 blah. There was all this problematic shit because I think at some point someone was like calling out Trinity or a show that she was a part of for being possibly transphobic. And then this user that has now been revealed to be Trinity said, I'm a black trans woman and I think it's fine.
No.
Sort of thing. And all this kind of shit. And then someone like tweeted her being like, is this you? About the account, about another post. And Trinity was like, yeah, I sometimes go on Reddit. And then someone went and got the entire like comment history. And it was like really, like it dated back like a couple years and there was all this shit. And like stuff like during All Stars 4, like when Trinity went to the finals and like obviously had a co-win with Monet, there was all this kind of like almost like microaggression kind of shit, like her saying like, I don't think Monique deserved to win this challenge or that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And it was just really like an insight into someone's like inner psychology that they thought was private, but like her defending herself and like blowing smoke up her own ass. And it's just so embarrassing.
But it was bound to happen. What were you thinking? The moment you reveal yourself, the internet is ruthless.
Exactly.
They will find out.
Every single thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to go through my Twitter and delete tweets from 8 years ago at some point before I blow up. Because otherwise people will blow me up.
Yeah. I had a Twitter account. I've had a Twitter account since I was like 15. It's the same one.
Oh my
me
God.
Me too.
Yeah. Cause, and especially like when I was like studying, I would delete Facebook and then I would just be on Twitter as like another thing, so it really didn't help. But I went through and I was deleting tweets. Thankfully, I think I like most of them are just like me talking about dumb shit, so like it was never actually that bad. But there were just a couple hairy ones that you're like, oh, okay, like I think that was a little transphobic, but I didn't see that at the time, or very some like misogynistic stuff that was like very internalized misogyny and blah blah blah. But then it got, like, so far because there were so many tweets that I was like, oh, if they find it, cancel me. Fuck it.
It'll save me time.
I need to take a week off work just to go through the 8,000 tweets.
Yes.
And then most of it would be like, what's up with Ben and Jerry's ice cream? It's way overpriced.
Yeah.
Yes, totally.
But also, like, a 15-year-old, you know, going onto a social media and, like, you know, learning about themselves and the world, like, I think people would be unbelievably ruthless if we're gonna, you know, drag people for that. But like it's different with someone like Trinity who's like, you know, a 40-year-old man. Like it's like you're fine. Like you can be accountable to this.
Yeah. It's the co-opting other personalities that bothers me. Like, oh, I'm a black trans woman. Like what other races and identities has Trinity taken on?
Yeah.
That's the scary thing.
Really.
And also to just like boldly take it on as if that's like to defend herself.
But there have been some funny memes that have come from it, from people like roasting Trinity about it, being like, we love our two black winners.
Oh my god. Wow.
It's very funny. Actually, on the topic of people posing as a different race, I just this morning was listening to Sibling Rivalry, which is the Bob the Drag Queen and Monet Exchange podcast.
I love that podcast.
It's fantastic. If you have heard the most recent episode, it's about the concept of transracialism. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have. I haven't listened to this most recent episode, but...
You know the concept?
The concept, like Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah. It's really fascinating. So, have you heard about this idea?
Yeah, I know this Rachel Dolezal bitch. Yeah. This motherfucker. I don't know.
But what was fascinating to me is, so for those listening, basically, like, in a similar sense that if someone is transgender, they see themselves as, you know, a different gender to then the way they were physically born. Someone who would be transracial would identify or see themselves as a different race to what they are physically. And it sounds outlandish, but the way that they deconstructed it in this episode was really interesting, because race, like gender, is a sociological thing that we invent, really, because it's cultural and it's about how we perceive others and how we kind of like have these like community codes that we go by. And you can be like culturally, I don't know, it was just really fascinating. Yeah, so couldn't you theoretically, like, I don't think it's a thing, personally.
Personally, I think there's a lot of different ways someone's smart, and especially Monet and Bob, who are so funny and, like, so smart. Of course, I can see them explaining it in a way that you're like, yeah, that makes sense. But I definitely think gender is a bigger or different construct compared to race. Mm-hmm. And I think gender... is just as diverse as race. There's probably just as many genders as there's races. But for a person to feel like I'm not the gender that was assigned to me at birth, I think it's different to saying, oh, I was born this race, but culturally I align with a different race.
Mm.
And I think the other thing as well is, for example, I'm black, was born in Germany, I'm half German, I'm half white. There's all these like different parts of me that are kind of contradictory. And there's different cultures that I grew up with. And I guess now I identify a certain way. But for me to say, you know what, I'm transracial, I'm not actually black, I'm white. Like, people would be like, what do you mean? And then I'd be like, you know, no, I'm white because I grew up in a school where everyone around me was white. Let's say my mom wasn't black, I'd grown up with my dad. I could like argue my way into whiteness if I wanted to. But it just wouldn't sit right with my spirit, A. And B, I don't think that makes as much sense as me saying if I was trans and not cis, you know, I have the same sort of arguments, like, you know, never felt like I was the gender I was at, that I was born with. And that makes so much sense to me.
Mm.
And I think that's such a construct that's really easily... disassembled, because gender just isn't the thing that it was 100 years ago, while race very much still is.
Mm.
I think we have a long way to go. Maybe one day people can be transracial because races will be more mixed, which is already happening, as there's more people from all kinds of different backgrounds coming together and making babies.
Mm.
But until that happens, I don't think I can, like, look at someone who says I'm transracial and accept them in a way that I can accept someone who's transgender.
Yeah. I agree with that. But I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the Rachel Dolezals of the world are kind of, like, the beginning of a new wave of this, of people, you know, opening up this discourse.
Mm.
Like, I definitely don't think it's the last we've heard of it.
No, yeah, I agree.
There's but it's always... It is based on Rachel Dolezal and other people, and even just like blackfishing in pop culture and stuff like that. It's always white people grasping on to the culturally accepted or celebrated parts of black culture, particularly like American black culture.
Mm.
It's never, it doesn't, like, it can't go the other way around because people won't accept a black person being like, oh, no, I'm white. They'd be like, no, you're fucking not. Like, that's where the line is.
Yeah.
And also this, like, Rachel Dolezal also was the head of the NAACP and in Spokane, I think it was, a role that she wouldn't have gotten if people didn't think she was black. Like, she lied to people. She lied to people about her past.
Yeah.
she lied to her kids. She has two black sons and they're just so humiliated. Like, if you ever watch the Netflix doco, I don't know. I watched it and it made me very angry. Mm. I think it's just, yeah, and I think it's interesting. Even, like, thinking about, like, gender dysphoria and gender euphoria. A great show. But it's, like, I feel like the discourse around that is changing as well, where it's not as simple as I was born in the wrong body. Mm. I think that that was sort of there are some, from what I've heard, there are trans people who really identify with that, and then there are other trans people who say that to help cis people kind of understand, comprehend what's going on. And gender, to me, like you were saying, Aurelia, seems like so much more of a construct, whereas with race, like white people can do blackface and yellowface and like dress up in whatever culture, and they have been for years. Mm. And there are people who walk around like in the northern parts of India claiming that they are from the Himalayas. It's like, no, bitch, you're from Toorak. I know your game. But we just, there's no way that it would go the other way around, because you walk into a shop and people treat you differently based on how you appear. It can't, yeah.
Yeah, and one other thing about the transracialism, like you said, it feels very much like, oh, I want all the benefits of, like, being cool and black, because that is, like, a trend, especially if you've seen Get Out. You yes. know how they talk about it. Yeah, the up-and-coming, I think being African-American is cool. And I feel like it's very much taking advantage of that. Well, if you're trans, there's literally no advantages.
Yeah.
Like, you're going through, like, no one... especially in like a country like Australia, people are only really getting around the concept of being trans. And I guess most countries are like that. So you really have no benefit to, you know, come out as who you are. And there's such a like braveness and risk and like being true to yourself that's associated with that, while being white and saying, you know what, I'm Asian, I'm black.
Mm.
That's literally just jumping on a bandwagon of what you think is cool. And I think that's like another issue that I have with it. Like, if you're doing it for a trend, are you doing this for a trend, or are you doing this because of who you really are?
Very but interesting concept.
It'd be interesting to see, where it goes.
Yeah, where it goes.
Yeah.
It goes.
Yeah. I think that Rachel Dolezal is such a piece of shit. Yeah.
I'm going to watch the Netflix documentary.
Yeah. Watch it. I think it's interesting, and it is, and there's no denying. It's another thing as well where you hear her story and it's like there's no denying that there's trauma there.
Yeah.
And there's no denying that there are people who really love her and care about her and think that she's like a good person. But I'm just like, you can't have this many people from the race that you identify as saying this is bad.
Well, she's changed her name. Have you heard?
Oh my god, what she
like,
changed
since the
to?
Doco. I'll have to look it up.
She would have to.
But
yeah,
you can't, like, how's she gonna get a job with that name now?
She can't.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, she dropped there's a scene in the film where she drops her kids off at a barber shop, and the kid's like, you need to drive away now, like, don't go. come.
So her new name is Nkechi Amare Diallo.
That is the blackest name I've ever heard.
Oh, God.
She knows what she's doing. She's
have
such
you seen
a
pictures
shit.
Of her when she was a teenager?
No.
She's fucking the whitest pasty bitch you've ever fucking seen.
Like, she's straight after the Sound of Music.
Yes, 100%. It's like Sound of Music and
she's
Annie.
Like, yeah. Long blonde hair, blue eyes. She's pretty. She's really cute.
Speaking of Sound of Music, Old Plumber.
Old Plumber? How dare you?
Plumber after disrespect.
Yeah, yeah. He's not even called yet.
I'm sorry, you two.
He's turning around in his grave.
Old Plumber. But yes, Mr. Plumber
has
passed away.
I guess I'm just the one of us who's not, like, infatuated
with his cheekbones and his jawline.
So before the pod, Jordan and Aurelia both revealed that they have a bit of a thing for Christopher Plumber in The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
He's hot.
The captain.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Like, Von Trapp.
He's distant. He's not interested in her. That is, like, That is attractive to me.
Yeah.
Mm. I love a man who whistles and his children come downstairs immediately.
Yeah.
I want that kind of command over my dog.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Have a whistle at home.
Oh, the best.
Give me some of that Adel Bussy.
Yeah, Christopher Plummer has died. He was old plumber.
Yeah.
And I think that there may be some people out there. This is so awful. This is like when Doris Day died. And I was like, oh, she was alive. I know this. I like not to sully the memory of Christopher Plummer. What a legacy. What a cool guy as well. He just seemed like so chiller. Like I've seen interviews with him. I saw him at Sound of Music reunions, and like him and Julie Andrews are just like, oh, how are you?
Oh, yeah. Julie Andrews, I love.
Oh,
such a
babe.
So beautiful.
I hope they somehow incorporate her more into Bridgerton, because it's been so fun to like see like, like in that pilot episode where they made her say bitch, I was like, yes. Make her say more swear words. I want to hear it.
Oh my God, it's perfect. Nah, Julie is cool.
Yeah.
I went to an evening with Julie Andrews. It was like
in Melbourne?
In Melbourne, I'm years jealous. Ago. It was the best. It was at the Arts Centre. So it was like me and like 3,000 people, but it felt very intimate. And it was her and one of the boys from Sound of Music. They're like best friends now.
Aww.
He's like the second youngest. But he's like, my name's Ralph, or whatever the names are. And they sang Edelweiss.
Sven.
And the big deal is that she sang. She can sing now, but she has like a very limited range. She was a child with 5-octave range, which is incredible. An amazing singer. She had to go in to get surgery.
Routine surgery,
and they botched her vocal cords.
Yeah.
And she could not sing again.
I hope she sued them for squillions, because that is the biggest tragedy.
Devastating. I remember my grandmother telling me that story, and like this is when I used to like sing all the time, and I was like,
oh, yeah,
unbelievable. And from then on I've heard of people going into surgeries. I know Kristen Chenoweth had to get tonsils taken out, and she had a post-it note on her forehead that said, I am a singer. And like people will be like,
I don't blame her.
I'm just being like, I don't know about this, because it's scary. It's scarier in your throat.
Would it just be the end of, you know, that type of career?
Like, yeah,
you just have to completely reinvent yourself and, you know, get onto Princess Diaries 2 or Royal Engagement.
A great film.
It's actually really sad in Princess Diaries 2, because they have that moment where it's like they get Julie Andrews singing, but then like she does a couple like notes in her like limited range as the song starts, and then Anne Hathaway is like, take it, Raven, and then like Raven Simone, yeah, it comes in and like just does the rest of the song, but like as a like proper like pop song. And it's just like, it's sort of like, it's almost worse that way. Like, I'd rather you just didn't have Julie Andrews in it than to be like, all right, shut up now, Julie, now we're gonna get an actual singer.
Raven Simone. Cheetah Girls.
Talking about musicals, our favorite musical of last year, The Prom. James Gordon's nomination. Was it a nomination or a win?
No, nomination.
Nomination. Yeah. I hope it's not a fucking win.
For love
I will
of God.
Be so upset. Yeah, problematic. But also, when it like came out, the news came out on Instagram, I guess, as it does. Again, my girlfriend messaged me being like, he's not gay.
Yeah. Surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Golden Globe noms in general are just like, ugh. And I love an award ceremony.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just last night.
Last night I ended up just putting Oscar awards acceptance speeches on YouTube and just let it play out. Joaquin Phoenix, you've never seen a turnaround like it when he's thanking everybody and then he's quickly talking about artificially inseminating cows.
Yeah.
Is he a vegan?
Yeah. Hardcore.
Okay.
Hardcore.
Great.
Anyway, I digress.
I can talk about it.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I love award seasons, but obviously grain of salt, because they're all like, we've known for a long time that they're like a piece of shit, you know? But this year, I mean,
it feels
a joke.
Especially offensive.
Uh-huh. I mean, Emily and Patty.
How dare you call her by her name?
Everyone watched a show, and you know that week when people are like, this is the most watched show on Netflix ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, it's been a great year for Netflix. I feel like they've had hit after hit after hit. Tiger King, Emily in Paris, Bridgerton, Queen's Gambit. Like, oh my God, so many shows that we've now forgotten that have done so well. And the Golden Globes could have picked any of them. Mm-hmm. But they ended up with Emily in Paris.
Do you think they got confused? Do you think they were like, oh, yeah, well, we have to put something in there for the children? Yeah.
For the
and
children.
It's like, no, we were watching it because we were like, ah, here's something that's worse than coronavirus.
Yeah. It was meant to be nominated for worst.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. And she got nominated. Like, a part of me was like, ugh, whatever, she's nominated for best comedy. But, like, Lily Collins was nominated for best actor.
No, she can't act.
I keep waiting for her to do something good because I'm like, she keeps working.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't, I think that she would be good in certain movies. I think she would be fine in certain movies. But Emily in Paris, oh my God.
Oh, merde, as Emily would say.
Oh, merde. Yeah. Bonjour.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I have a croissant? Yeah. She starts speaking in cursive. I stalked her and she's just like reposting, being like, thanks to my team. Meanwhile, the whole, like, I wonder how she's feeling because obviously the biggest upset, the biggest snub is Michaela Cole and I May Destroy mm-hmm. You. Mm.
Which is like a, you know, progressive, interesting take on, you know, like race and like.
Sexual assault.
Yeah.
Sexual assault.
And, like, has actually grappled topics in a really, like, nuanced, artistic, stylish way.
Mm.
And then it's just, like, Emily in Paris. It's, like, a girl, you know, joins a label.
An intern goes to Paris and has a croissant and sleeps with an underage boy. Ah!
Yeah, an American gifts the French.
Boyfriend?
Oh, my God, I forgot about that. Yeah. She's just all around unlikable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like everyone in that show was pretty unlikable outside of her best friend.
Yeah. Ashley Park of Mean Girls,
yes!
The musical, Tony Award nomination fame.
So good. Yeah, I think that it's just, I think that I May Destroy You was like amongst the circles that I'm in on the internet, which are two, was the most talked about show of 2020, surely. It was like everybody was like, you must see this show. When we finally were able to see it in Australia, it was like, this is the best show we've ever seen. Because she does, like you were saying, she has this, even like in chewing gum and in everything that she does, she has this way of like making very nuanced and artistic and theatrical approaches to thing, but to topics. But at the same time, they're super
Accessible,
yeah, absolutely. Like,
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I could watch it and feel connected to it for a completely different reason that like someone like my mom would watch it and feel connected to it, as opposed to like everybody else would have their own sort of connection, for lack of a better word, as in about 60 times, to I May Destroy You, whereas everybody has the same connection to Emily in fucking Paris.
Yeah.
Which is, kill this woman.
Let her get hit by a taxi.
I mean, wouldn't that be iconic at the start of season two if Emily just gets killed? Start of episode one, and then it's no longer about Emily in Paris. It's about, like, the aftermath.
I just wonder if Lily Collins and Darren Star are watching this discourse online.
I saw this tweet. I don't know if you saw it too. And the person was like, I don't think it deserved it, and I was a writer on Emily in Paris.
Oh, yes!
Did you see that?
Yeah! She's been making more tweets since then.
Yeah, and, like, other people have been copying that format. Like, no disrespect, as a writer on...
On Emily in Paris.
Oh, my God.
There's one girl who's been saying, as the creator of Emily in Paris, you know, I intended Emily to be an Indian girl at first, but all the execs said, no, she's got to be a white American girl. Like, she's lying. Like, she has no association. All this kind of stuff.
And I was like, whoa, this is you?
Yeah. Wow. But it got, like, you know, like, everyone's loving the meme format. But I think some, like, article, like, newspapers and, like, BuzzFeed-y type websites, like, took it as fact and had articles being like, head writers of Emily in Paris have come out saying, I wrote it as a prank.
Would not surprise me.
Yeah.
It has prank energy.
It does.
I did see something as well online, just talking about how about Promising Young Woman. Obviously, it's in a different category because it's a film, but it swept out the awards. And the tweet, and this person was just saying, it's very interesting because this is like, this is the stories that we believe. This is a white woman's assault story. And this is like, everybody's like losing their minds and it's sweeping the Globes and yada yada, probably sweep the Oscars too. And then something like I May Destroy
That's
You
so
is completely looked over and snubbed. And it's like, well, then that's such a clear demonstration of the stories we want to hear, the stories we allow to be celebrated as well. Oh, not celebrated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah.
That's a real clear dichotomy.
Yeah.
Totally.
Another snub, quickly, because I love Issa Rae so much, is Insecure.
Yes!
Insecure is so funny.
I haven't seen this. Is this on...
It's
on Binge. I'll give you my login. Yeah. It's so good.
It's
I haven't watched the latest season, but I've heard that the latest season is something else.
It's really good. They have amazing outfits. You know, it's got all the same like production value as you would expect from Emily in Paris because it's HBO. But Issa Rae started by just having a YouTube web series. Mm-hmm. She posted 2 days ago. There was the 10-year anniversary of when she started that web series, which was called Awkward Black Girl. And then I think she got Pharrell or someone like that involved or like to back her. And then she got to pitch to HBO. And from there it all started. But she's such a great, like, started from the bottom.
Yeah.
Now we're here.
Oh, that's great.
And again, like, nothing. Or like, I mean, maybe I don't think they got nominated because she would have posted about that. But also last year they did get nominated but didn't win. Schitt's Creek won. Which, like, yeah, Schitt's Creek is definitely more mainstream popular. But, yeah, it just seems like those black stories never win. And the other thing I would just say about Insecure as well, I love Makila Cole. I love I May Destroy You. I've seen one or two episodes. But it was hard for me to watch because it was quite, like, triggering.
Of course.
And with Insecure, it still touches on things but more lightly. And... we as like black people, we don't get a lot of shows that are like lighthearted and fun with a little bit of drama. A lot of the time it has to be really like traumatic and it has to be
heavy.
And there was the first time I'd seen a show that was like light and funny and I could watch it and like go to sleep and be like, oh, she shouldn't have fucked her ex-boyfriend and not thinking, oh my God, she got hate-crimed in the bus.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, sometimes it can be just as powerful and, like, progressive to have, you know, a minority presented in a way that is, you know, pure fun.
Just like, existing in the world.
Absolutely. It's, like, the same for queer and gay characters. Yes. Always never ending up with the person they love, getting sick, dying, and then breaking up. Like, we want joyful stuff that we can watch and smile and like go to bed and not overthink, why did my favorite gay character die again?
Yeah, because it's almost like we want to create, like, we want to like actually head towards a better world. Like, why do we keep harping on not we obviously need to tell the hard stories as well, but we don't want to have that be the only story to the extent that we're just, like, perpetuating that this is all it will ever be. You know? Like,
Absolutely.
We need the It's a Sins as much as we do, you know, just confectionery viewing that's just, you know.
And how much of of these stories as well is trauma porn for, like, particularly white women too. Watch these, like, really harrowing stories and be like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Then, anyway, I better go make a tea cake. Yeah. Whatever we do. but yeah, it's interesting. Speaking of It's a Sin, have you both watched it yet?
No, not I'm watching yet. It tonight because I've set aside this weekend because I know it's going to destroy me.
Yes.
And I need a weekend to, you know, purge that from my system.
It is devastatingly sad. I will say that. I think it's well done. I think there's, I would like to watch it again without the goggles of, oh my God, this is so sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, even sometimes you're like, is this good or am I just crying all the time? but it is kind of, and it's harrowing watching those stories because we know that if it was us 20, 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you just look at these, there's a particular role in there who's Jill, who's their friend, and she's a woman, and you just know that there were so many, she represents so many girls who just watched her friends really, like, get really sick, and just, like, she lived on and stuff that.
She's a real person, isn't she?
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't tell me that.
Yeah. There's shots of, like, the actor meeting the actual Jill, real-life Jill.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, it's pretty beautiful, but it is, you know, you look at that and you're just like, this that must have been so scary without the internet, without forums, terrifying. Without everybody to, like, find each other and be like, hey, there's something going on and no one's talking about it. I think that's the thing that people forget about AIDS is that it was around for 10 years before anyone said anything.
It's kind of interestingly timed, actually, that it coincides with, you know, the pandemic that we're going through at the moment, because not only was there this new, you know, much more deadly virus that was taking hold, but it was then so intrinsically attached in society's view to gays. Yes. And so it's like compounded as a, like, targeted thing. And, like, there's been a lot of that about, like, racism with the pandemic, about, you know, like, people calling it the China virus and then that kind of shit. It is a kind of strange parallel that it comes out now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's so interesting.
And it's still ongoing. I mean, the AIDS pandemic is not over and it still continues, but I feel like in the public's eye, I don't know, I feel like people forget that it's still happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's still people suffering.
Mm.
I mean, it's great that now we have so many more treatment options and you can actually live a pretty fulfilled, happy life without limitations. But I don't think there's enough public knowledge of AIDS and HIV and the stigma attached to it is still at the same, maybe not at the same level as it was 20 years ago, but the stigma is still there.
For sure. I mean, and we should also discuss the laws recently changing about blood donations.
Of course.
For gay men or men who have sex with men, as they describe it. So basically, like, it used to be that men who have sex with men just flat out couldn't donate blood, period. And they have changed it now that men who have sex with men in Australia, or is it just Victoria? I think
it's Victoria.
Might just be Victoria, but it's can now donate blood if they have been celibate or not had sex with men in 3 months, which to me is one step forward, 10 steps back.
Yeah. And it's also so, it's so laced in, like, really weird, icky homophobia as well. Because I donate blood regularly. I'm a hero. but one of the questions is, like, especially when I was, like, sleeping with people casually, like, I was not great because I was young and I'm an idiot, but I was, like, okay with getting sexual health checkups. But when I was sleeping with people casually and stuff like that, there'd be a question being like, oh, is there anyone that you've slept with who's had unprotected anal sex? And I was like, I don't know what Dennis from Tinder was doing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, and it was just very like, well, I assume not, but, like, I can say no and get away with it because I'm a cisgendered woman. Like, it's not, but I found that really interesting because I was like, that's, also you don't know. That's so...
Yeah. And, like, we have the means, and, like, all blood gets tested for HIV anyway.
Yes,
so
exactly.
It's not, it's literally just a stigma. There's no like, you know, biological reason that they have to section off gay men who have sex with men as a separate entity. And also, like, it to me, it is still, the ban is essentially still in place because you would have to, like asking for 3 months of celibacy.
It's too much like, with these men.
Like, only in the pandemic could that happen. I think it also discounts that a lot of men who sleep with men are in long-term relationships where they only sleep with the same fucking man for months, years, however long. And if both those people are tested negative, then what is stopping them from donating?
That's true.
Not every gay man is a slut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But contrary to popular
belief.
But all
of the ones I live with.
I can't think of any, like, off the top of my head, but,
I don't know a gay man who's not a slut.
Yeah. Yeah, some of us are also podcasters, okay?
Yeah, true. it's one of those laws that I think people forget about. Obviously not people who can't donate blood, but I think also in the mainstream media, people are like, oh, shit, like, because my parents still can't donate blood because they lived in the UK during mad cow disease.
Seriously?
Truly, they can't donate blood.
What the hell?
Mm. And that was like 2 years in the 90s.
Mm.
Great. And do you know that there's been a real like need for blood and organ donation because during the pandemic, people are less on the roads and there's been heaps less car crashes, which is one of the primary ways that organ donation happens.
Oh my god, that's so bleak, but of course.
Yeah, so it's meant that like organs are much more scarce and blood donations similar.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So there's a real need for it at the moment, and to just be still having like any reason to deter people from doing it.
Yeah.
There's also so many other things where it's like if you had a tattoo you have to wait 6 months. If you had a piercing I think you have to wait 3. And I've been getting tattoos and piercings every single month.
It's a routine for you.
It's like a routine. And then it's like, oh well, all the needles, I literally see them, unpack them. Like there's no way I could have gotten anything. And then I don't know, like I've never donated blood because every time I'm like up for not being in that time, it's like, well, you have to wait another month.
Yeah. Speaking of which, can I see your new tat?
Oh, yeah. This is one.
Oh, I love it.
Which is like toys my brother and I had growing up.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I still have this one. Unfortunately, I don't have his anymore. And then I got this.
That's so awesome.
That's sick. So for the listener.
Oh, yeah. This is not a very visual medium.
No, they're so cool.
Yeah. Jordan, did you get an appointment?
No, I'm still waiting for them to get back to me, but I'm very excited. I am getting my first tattoo. It will be a glass shrimp.
I love
which
that.
It's great. But there's a lot of, a few of my friends are very like, about
where
like
on your
I
body?
Literally describe it. I think I'm gonna get it on my inner bicep.
Yeah.
Which I think will be sensitive, but whatever.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. But I wanna get it with the phrase "it was fucking one of you" underneath it. And it's my homage to global warming.
We're running out of
plankton and smaller fish in the sea.
Which one's the glass shrimp?
They're a see-through shrimp, and you can literally see their organs. And when the women are – when the females, when they have eggs inside of them, you can see the eggs just sitting in their bodies.
Can you eat those shrimp?
They're so small. You'd get nothing from it.
Okay.
But other fish can eat them, and then we would eat those fish and those crustaceans. So they're very important for us to be able to eat other shrimps.
Yeah, I love that.
But yeah, I would just want to get that and then get "it was fucking one of yours" in a wave underneath.
Oh,
that's
I like
new
that.
Age. I'm obsessed.
My favorite part is that I showed. So if you're not in the know and if you've never seen this clip on YouTube, you haven't lived. But there's a clip of two Scottish girls saying, "We're going to sing Charlotte.
Hi, Charlotte."
And like, "Well, if you're confident." And then their mum bursts in and she's like, "Which one of you took a shit and didn't he flush?" Disgusting. Oh, no, she goes, it wasn't me. Yeah. It was fucking one of yours. Disgusted. And then slams the door. And it just reminds me so much of my childhood because I had, quote unquote, a lot scary of shits. Mom. I had a lot of shits. I was, but my mom would like unabashedly just be like, which one are you fucking shit in the toilet? I'd have like a friend round and she'd be like, did you fart?
Oh my God.
Did you see the video of one of the girls saying it was one of me?
Yes, it was me.
So good. But I told my mom I was getting this tattoo and she was like, why are you getting that? That sounds awful. And I was like, watch this clip. And she watched it the entirety and then was like, when does it get funny? And I was like, mom, this is you.
This is peak comedy.
This is my childhood. I am getting this once, as an homage.
Once you have this tattoo, you're going to get so many more.
I know. Yeah. I can't wait.
I love that you haven't even, like, for your mom's sake, done a, like, transitory like tattoo. You've just gone straight into absurdism. Yeah. Like, it's like, mom, this is what all the kids are doing.
Oh my God. That would be wild. Yeah, my parents aren't like, they don't mind tattoos now, but they're like, they're just a bit like, why? And my mom's always like, oh, is it going to look terrible when you're old? Can I tell you, whenever I see someone old with tattoos, I think they're fucking cool.
I'm like, yeah. You're sick. I love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be you.
I want to be you.
My boyfriend's dad has lots of tattoos from when he was younger. And
is he a bikie? Is he hot?
he was part of a gang. And yeah, he actually has like tats on his earlobes, like little stars that look like earrings. And when they, Josh's parents were getting married, Josh's grandma, like, this guy's mother-in-law said to Josh's dad, oh, can you take your earrings out for the ceremony? And he's like, they're not earrings, they're tats. And she's like, oh, okay. but when Josh and all his siblings were growing up, they used to, like, colour in their dad's tattoos.
Yeah, that's so cute.
Yeah, and yeah. I thought that was just so sweet and, like, such a, like, indication of how they don't have to be this, like, you know, sort of scary separate thing. It can be a nice, like, little... Yeah.
A cute little
It's
situation.
Not a big deal. It's cool.
Oh, maybe you can get Kenzo to colour it in.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He might just bite off my arm.
That's so amazing. Would you get a tattoo, Charlie?
I really want to. I kind of feel like it would be insane, like the glass shrimp.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah. I really want to get a dash and like around my ankles so that it looks like a bracelet kind of thing.
So cute.
Like it walks all the way around.
Oh my God, yeah. I love that.
Something like that would be fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love it.
Have I told you about my friend who has a tattoo of a Grim Reaper on a surfboard?
Oh, I love great. That.
It's so good. I think that's so great. Surf's up. Yeah. You're going to die.
Surf's up, dudads.
Speaking of surf's up, JK Rowling trigger warning here. I
surf and turf.
Surf and turf.
Yeah.
Turf. Oh yeah, she's a turf. I was like, turf that bitch. I have just come into the know about the whole Lupin fan fiction world. So Lupin, Professor Lupin, the werewolf man, when those first three or four books came out, people started writing fan fictions.
Including me.
Oh my God. Was it sexy fan fiction?
It was Lupin serious fan fiction.
Mm. Well, that was the main...
This
yeah.
is, and I'm heavily into this scene. I have a lot of feels about J.K. Rowling.
I've only just found out about it, so I'll quickly give a spiel, but then Charlie, this is your domain. You're going to take over here. But basically what I heard, which is new information, is that people started writing fan fictions about Lupin. People also likened him being a werewolf to the AIDS epidemic as well, which I thought was really interesting. But that wasn't JK's intention. This is just what people had like taken from it. And people started writing fan fiction. She tried to sue them, but you can't actually sue people for fan fictions. Like, it's actually really hard to do that unless you're going to like publish it if it's free and it's just a...
If it's on Wattpad, that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Literotica.
Oh my God. Don't get me started.
So nothing really came from that. So what she did is she created this character Tonks later on. She killed Sirius.
Who is also gay.
Yes. who was also very, yeah, so queer-coded. It's a joke. Yeah. Her hair color changes when she's angry. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a lesbian. But, yeah, so people started writing fan fictions. And in the third movie, the director, Alfonso, I can't remember his last Curon. Name. Yes. He told the actors of Remus and of Sirius and Lupin to reunite as if they're like
lovers.
Old lovers or yeah. lovers. And they, when you watch it back,
yeah.
they do. And it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time that movie had come out, she'd started writing the fifth book. And in the fifth book, spoiler alert, Sirius dies.
Mm-hmm.
She kills him off and she brings in Tonks. Mm. And then she tries to make Tonks and Lupin this like, mm-hmm. beautiful story, because she was just, I think,
but
she she wanted people gay on her own terms.
Yeah, which is infuriating, because mm-hmm. I would have thought J.K. Rowling of all people would roll with the retrospective, oh yes, that character was always gay, you
yeah,
know.
She did like, that a lot before yeah. she was cancelled.
So why wouldn't you take an opportunity where people are actually being like, oh, this is in the text, like it feels canon, mm. And I firmly believe whether or not she's intended it or not, these characters are heavily queer-coded.
Yes.
Because Lupin, as a werewolf, he has this, like, literally, like, blood-infected disease that prohibits him, like, as a taboo from, like, teaching professionally. And, like, once parents at the school find out that Lupin is a werewolf, they don't want to, like, he gets fired. And it's similar to how, you know, teachers were outed and would be removed from school systems because parents didn't want their kids associated with someone like that. Mm. And then there's just all the stuff in the text about like Lupin having this kind of like grieving process because like when Sirius dies, like is kind of when the Tonks romance comes into it. And like Lupin is like severely depressed and there's all this stuff. Like I haven't been in that world for quite a few years, but I remember when I was reading the books and then especially when I got into the, like the Tumblr world of it, I think they called
R.I.P.
Yeah. The ship is called Wolfstar because it's like, cause Sirius and Lupin are both like, celestial, like,
Jordan is writing.
I'm writing down Wolfstar.
Yeah.
I need some smart.
Yeah. And I loved it. And also, just stuff like it just reeks of gay to me. Like, you know, they talk about when the like Harry's parents and Lupin and Sirius and stuff were at school. Like, Lupin was sort of like a nerdy oddball that was like his best friend in the world was Lily, sort of stuff. And I'm like, gay, that's gay, like hag yeah. alert.
Oh,
like,
Lily screams of hag.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, and I don't care what J.K. Rowling says at this point.
Oh, my God. She's
we're beyond.
Yeah. We're silencing J.K. Rowling.
And yeah. She's no longer the author of Harry Potter. She must resign her post. People yeah. have written better stuff.
Yeah.
There's better fanfic on Wattpad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's so interesting.
And also, Tonks is Sirius's cousin and is a metamorphosis. I forget the term for it, but she can, like, transform her appearance and make herself look like anyone else. And there's all this kind of like, it's just very bearded character design that it's yeah. almost like an ersatz Sirius, you know, it's still in the same family. And I don't
oh
know. It's just weird layers that she didn't need to go that far to make it a like, you know, bona fide queer story.
Yeah. I remember when Sirius dies being devastated because I really liked him and I really wanted him to be thing, but I also thought he had such a thankless death too, like falling into some mirror.
Into the veil, yeah.
Ah.
What a way to go.
Yeah, yeah, so that's fucking JK being like, gay men are so vain.
Yeah.
He fell into the mirror and he died.
Yeah. It's very like women in refrigerators trope. Have you heard of this?
No, what's this?
It's this thing that started in comics, which is that I think it started in comics. Or it's like in narratives where women are just killed off in like horrific, unceremonious ways. At like where I think in some comic, like the female victim was like her body was found in a refrigerator, like chopped up in the fridge or something like that.
Oh,
and it's the
God.
Idea of like women being disposable, like that you can literally just kill them however you want in a way that like writers wouldn't do for a male character. Like, they'd give them, like, a proper death scene. They'd give them, like, a sense of, like, struggle and fight and all that kind of stuff. But women, it's just like, oh, yeah, that's just assumed. They'll die in a horrific way.
Yeah.
And so it's called the women in refrigerators trope of, like, disposing of female characters in just, like, ridiculously brutal and, like, horrible ways.
Wow.
That's, like, the first time I've heard of it in that way. But now that you're saying it, it's, like, every SVU, SUV.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. SUV, SVU, any CSI, like, every female victim is, like, raped and murdered and chopped up and eaten and, like...
Yeah. It's so fucked up. Gross. Now this is a trope I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to unsee.
Yeah.
It's like when you find out about the Bechdel test and you're like, no.
Yeah.
Guys, are we ready to... pop or flop?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Pop off.
Pop
or flop.
No. I can't. I'm too out of sync.
Okay. I'll go and then you go. Try to get pop or flop.
Pop or flop.
Pop or flop.
So this week's pop or flop is Joe Exotic.
Oh my goodness. So he's back in the news because, am I right in saying that he was hoping to get a pardon from Donald Trump before he left office?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he did not.
They have the same energy to me.
Yes.
Like Donald Trump, Joe Exotic, same energy, same vibe.
Yeah. And he said in an article, I was too innocent and too gay for a pardon. And, you know, same.
Yeah. Same.
So innocent.
Oh, my God.
After finishing Tiger King, I had all these conflicting feelings about him because I was like, oh, I feel sorry. I feel not sorry. Like, he deserved what he got. But then reading that he feels like, I don't know, he like almost feels proud. He doesn't have any
remorse.
Mm. Yeah, that definitely rubbed me the wrong way, especially when his husband, or was it his boyfriend or his husband?
Husband.
Yeah. When his husband died.
Oh my God, that's horrific. Oh yeah. My goodness. Yeah, he's not the queer icon that we deserve. He is. He's a bad person. He keeps solitary cats in large groups together.
Mm.
And tried to kill a woman.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like, I feel like people lost the fact. I forgot because that documentary is so wild. Mm. I forgot that the premise is that he tried to kill her because there's a different thing. Like, at one point, I'm like, oh, this is about cults.
Yeah.
And then at another point, I was like, oh, this is about Carol Baskin killing her ex-husband. And then it kind of circled back, and I was like, oh, no, this is about, like, animal cruelty, and also he tried to kill her. It is a ride.
Mm, yeah.
It's about running for a political seat as well.
Yeah.
That campaign.
Oh, my goodness.
And then his brief music career.
Where somebody else sang.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, like, him dating drug-addicted boys.
That was fucked.
So fucked up.
That, like, trio wedding that they had. And it's, like, not one of them was, like, legitimate.
Yeah.
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 And also him kind of exploiting the fact that those young men were kind of maybe still exploring their sexuality.
And dependent on him for drugs and money and... Sick. It's just gross.
Oh, guys. Joe Exotic.
I think we all agree.
He's a flop.
It's a flop.
He's a flop.
Big floppy flop.
Yeah.
Boo. And, I mean, Trump was pardoning everyone. And to be dismissed by Trump says a lot.
Yeah.
Do you think Trump watched Tiger King?
I reckon.
I don't know if he has ever watched a television show.
I don't know if he has the attention span.
Yeah.
That's true. He probably just read, like, the premise.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I just see Donald Trump watching cartoons.
Yeah. Like, totally. Literally.
Ren and Stimpy.
Yes!
Yeah.
Doesn't he just watch Fox News and, like...
Yeah, just Fox News and, like, Kim Possible.
Oh my god, call me, beep me if you want to reach me.
Yes. Oh well, Joe Exotic, best of luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope you rot in prison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's hard out here for a bitch. thank you everybody for listening to our very chic episode.
Yeah, this has been such a cool feeling to so record nice. It live.
I know. Oh,
I feel I'm like... blushing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely beaming ear to ear. I can't believe we're doing it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
And listen up for the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And remember, be gay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.